A domain registration is a gift that keeps on giving for all the geeks in your life. Do your shopping at GoDaddy.com. Listen to this podcast for a special code that you can use to get great discounts at GoDaddy.com.
And so I had this dream this morning, and it was about yeast. I just remembered it. I'm actually still in bed. Let me turn my headphones down since there's a delay. I had a yeasty dream. It was a yeast dream. And this dream was, there was somebody, I remember who it is, but I don't want to say, in the dream saying there was some sort of substance on the floor. There was a substance. It was like yellow and sticky, sort of like a, maybe a little bit like the semen, only maybe more plentiful and more yellow, I would say. And and then I looked at it, and then I said, "What is that?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know what that is." And I looked at it, and I looked at it again. I said, "Huh. Well, it looks interesting, very, and somewhat familiar in a very odd way. Something I remember from my days of youth, lesbian youth." She said, "You know what it is, Mitch? It's yeast. I've been dripping yeast." And at first I didn't get it. I thought, what, are you baking a cake? You had the dough in your hand? What do you mean you drip it liquid? And I realized it was coming out of her vagina. The yeast was coming from... coming out of her vagina. Okay, I don't know why it's only coming into the left channel there. That's annoying. So we can change that to the thing here. And then so far, it is. Oh, it's over. So much for my clever mixing in the morning. I had another dream that was really unusual for me. So I was, God, I'm tired. Hey. I had to take the sleeping pill my doctor gave me, prescribed for me a few months ago. When I tried not to take it or her, I should just call it her, the sleeping pill, that is, not the psychiatrist. And do my morning medications. Mostly. All right. So the other dream. I was in this sort of... I've been into the quantum mechanics lately. I don't know. Never mind why. I don't want to get too specific. Kind of freaks me out a little bit. The quantum physics and stuff. And I was having a dream. I was in some sort of a dream. And I knew I was in... No. Yeah, I kind of knew. I don't know. Maybe I didn't know I was dreaming. I don't know. Did I know? Did I not know? How? I just don't remember. But I kind of, I guess it was a little of both, because, you know, the dream world can be a little bit of the paradoxicals. You know what I'm saying? The paradox. But I want to say paradox. I wish it was paradeuce. Like, I could use the deuce. Like the French. Like the Max and Stacy. That kind of business. So, where was I? My penis. Penis. I said penis, but in the headphones it sounded like penis to me. I don't want people to think I'm a man. Anyway, I should introduce myself, by the way. I don't really do that very often. My name is Madge Weinstein. I'm a lesbian. I come from the world of the record business. I used to manage several bands, including one band in particular that was very special, the girl band, girl being spelled G-R-R-L, and the band was called Goddess Riot Shoes. They started off good. They turned it out just into a big sex orgy. And if you think getting young girls to eat your pussy out is fun, you got another thing coming. It's not like the men with the blowjobs. It's a totally different thing. Old, fat women give much better oral jobs. Man, is that right? Oral jobs? It sounded like some sort of phlegm repellent. Sorry if I'm not making sense. I'm in the bed still. I got the Tratsky. Tratsky's my dog for all you new listen. Oh, fuck. By the way, I need, oi, Christ on a whore. I almost spilled my kof. Anyway. Okay. So. Okay. So. You bored yet? You will be. So I was in this dream, and I'm sitting next to this guy. Now, it wasn't a guy. It was a woman. That's weird. Freudian slip even within my dream. Talk about a collapsing world of paradoxes and everything. So I was there in this dream, and I was this big black woman. She looked a little bit like Oprah, a little bit like Star Jones. And the weird thing was, I don't know why this is significant, she had a belly, but she was wearing a belt around her waist. But it's not a normal belt. It was like the kind of belt a window repairman would wear, or a window cleaning, you know, the sort of just plain beige. Is that right? Did I say right? Beige. Belt. And so he was wearing the belt. And she said to me, I'd like to eat your pussy out. I don't know if she knew my name. Man, she may have thought my name was Thorne Beulah. But I said, okay. So I don't know where we were. It was like some sort of a sex place or a bus depot. I don't know. And she started eating my pussy. And I said, Jesus, you're good at eating pussy. Oh, no. I know now. You know how the dreams are horrible to remember sometimes. I knew that there was a precondition. Not a condition. A precos. She was I'm right. She ate my pussy out so good, like the best pussy eating ever. Ate me out. By the way, I went to Weight Watchers and I lost 4.7 pounds. Thank you very much. And the little thing for week two, it says, eating out. That's what they give you a flyer every week. The flyer of the week was eating out. It's all about eating pussy for low calories. So I'm sitting there getting eaten out, the best eat out job of my life. And you know, and I said, Jesus Christ, you are so good at eating out. She said, I bet this is the best eat out you've gotten from a robot. And I said, you got to be kidding. How could you be a robot and eat pussy so good? And she said something like, I'm a really good robot. Like, I'm a really advanced robot, AI or something. She's one of these quantum computer things or something like that. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm a lesbian. Now I sounded like that Commander Scotty on the Star Treks. I'm not a lesbian. I'm an anthropologist, and I study things like, ironically enough, the male sexual behavior. I am an anthropologist. But see, that's not the point of the dream. The point of the dream, so that she What is that thing above my door? That's so strange. I've never seen that before. What could that be? Weird. Huh. How could that... What is that thing above my door? Oh, well. It looks like a spindle, Tootsles. You know, right. Anyway,
Blay-ho.
All right, so.
Blay-ho.
Mostly. Okay.
Blay-ho.
Oh my God, I'm really nuts. Okay, so. So the point of this dream is that, and it's kind of going to blow you away. It blew me away when I had the dream. But you know who walked by in the semi sort of sex club, but well lit? It was more like a, it was, I guess, like a bus depot. It was one of these sort of places where people go in and out of their dreams. And maybe this is all related. So maybe this is doppelganger business and maybe people will relate. So who walks by in the dream looking at me getting eaten out by an enormous black Oprah Star Jones? Maybe a little bit of Babesha was in there too, I don't know. But just think Fat Black. And maybe Sanford and Son were both there. Well, the father and the Grady. Yeah, father and the Grady, maybe. Mental note to recommend this Bicycle Mark show about resisting the war. It's phenomenally amazing. You have to hear this interview. It's called Resisting the War, bicyclemark.org. And so, who walks by? Guess. No. No. Nope. Mrs. Slocum guessed right, I'm guessing. Who walks by but Andrew Barron and Joanne Collum of the Rocket Boom, giving me a superior than thou, higher than thou, superior look, like, huh. And, but I didn't care because I was getting my conti. No, you know, I had the upper hand. I was getting eaten out. I was getting my giant eaten, you know? I got it eaten. I was getting my shit eaten. And believe me, this woman's was good. Artificial intelligence, vagina eating, and then past walks, the Joanne Collum and the Andrews Barrett looking jealous. Jealous. Don't hate kind of jealous. And I was just getting... It's kind of like if you were at the beach. See, I know I have a lot of gay men listening. It's like, pretend you're at the Hollywood beach here in Florida, Herd, and it's the last day of the good season here, you know. But it's during the day, and there's very few people there at the beach. And you're getting a blowjob at the beach. And then your friend walks by, you know, and sees you getting a blowjob, and you're like, hey, I'm getting a blowjob. It was kind of like that, like, oh, I'm getting eaten out, Joanne. And you're not, because I don't think Andrew could do much for you, not like a real woman like me could do. But that's neither here nor there. I know you're busy reporting on Lego structures, and that's cool. That's cool. We all do what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, okay, where was I with this? So I have some stuff to play. Where the fuck? I put it in a special folder. I did. God. Let's see. Where's this vagina of mine? Okay. Vlog Europe. I got a race shit. Jesus Christ. Christ on a whorehole that itches and smells. Main droplet. Yeast. Pod press. No, that's not it. Where's my fucking shit for the show? I hate when I fucking can't remember the... Oh. Here it is, YR425. By the way, if you're listening on Sirius, this, if you want to hear the whole thing, this is Yeast Radio Show number 525. Why did I write 425? That's a lie. And I forgot. You can write this this lesbian in this show at blevedlesbian@gmail.com. And if you want your audio comments heard on the show, you have to include an MP3 file as an attachment. Don't be retarded like Matt Blender and send me a link. Matt Blender, by the way, does my show notes. He does a wonderful job and he has a wonderful podcast at okaysoradio.net. I used to say okaysayradio.libsyn.com, and then I finally find out after some controversy that that is not necessary, and he is just too retarded to tell me. He says he's too busy doing my show notes. Well, listen, honey, I'm too busy, too. You know, I'm traveling, schlepping around the world with a dog and a bag, you know? I'm schlepping around the world, sleeping on people's floors, going from whore to whore. Yet I have time to do a show every day, a video every day or two. All this, I have time to eat. That takes time to complain. Actually, that's all bullshit, you know it. What's this? This is from Dave Coldbank, out of retirement. Let's just listen, I'll shut up for a while.
This might just do nobody any good. At the end of this discourse, a few people may accuse this reporter of fouling his own comfortable nest. And your organization may be accused of having given hospitality to heretical and even dangerous ideas. But the elaborate structure of networks, advertising agencies, and sponsors will not be shaken or altered. It is my desire, if not my duty, to try to talk to your journeyman with some candor about what is happening to radio and television. And if what I say is responsible, I alone am responsible for the saying of it. Our history will be what we make it. And if there are any historians about 50 or 100 years from now, and there should be preserved the kinescopes of 1 week of all three networks, they will there find, recorded in black and white and in color, evidence of decadence, escapism, and insulation from the realities of the world in which we live. We are currently wealthy, fat, comfortable, and complacent. We have a built-in allergy to unpleasant or disturbing information. Our mass media reflects this. But unless we get up off our fat surpluses and recognize that television in the main is being used to distract, delude, amuse, and insulate us, then television and those who finance it, those who look at it, and those who work it, may see a totally different picture too late. I began by saying that our history will be what we make it. If we go on as we are, then history will take its revenge and retribution will not limit in catching up. Just once in a while, let us exalt the importance of ideas and information. Let us dream to the extent of saying that on a given Sunday night, the time normally occupied by Ed Sullivan is given over to a clinical survey on the state of American education. And a week or two later, the time normally used by Steve Allen is devoted to a thoroughgoing study of American policy in the Middle East. Would the corporate image of their respective sponsors be damaged? Would the shareholders rise up in their wrath and complain? Would anything happen, other than a few million people would have received a little illumination on subjects that may well determine the future of this country, and therefore the future of the corporations? To those who say people wouldn't look, they wouldn't be interested, they're too complacent, indifferent, and insolent, I can only reply, there is, in one reporter's opinion, considerable evidence against that contention. But even if they are right, what have they got to lose? Because if they are right, and this instrument is good for nothing but to entertain, amuse, and insulate, then the tube is flickering now, and we will soon see that the whole struggle is lost. This instrument can teach. It can illuminate, and yes, it can even inspire. But it can do so only to the extent that humans are determined to use it towards those ends. Otherwise, it is merely wires and lights in a box. Good night, and good luck.
You know, that made me think about my box. And, you know, that's amazing that that was, I don't know, when Merle, was it 50s that that was? It must have been 50s when that Murrow said that, Edward R. Murrow. And, you know, I was listening to an interview with Daniel Shore on NPR or something like this. They said, it's a shame we don't have an Edward R. Murrow today. Or is it Edwin or Edward? I can never figure that out. But I guess I could Google it, but I'll forget. Kabbalah. Why do we have a book on Kabbalah? All right. I should read this book by Vagina Wolf, Mrs. Doubtfire. All right, let's see. Okay, whatever, but I forgot. Amy Goodman is our Edward R. Murrow. But the situation is the same as it was in the 50s, as it was ever since Mr. Bernays used his Uncle Freud's propaganda techniques in order to spread the good news about big business, that it would control you. In this country, everything that we do in this country, the way that we work as a society and as individuals, the way we consume, is all because of propaganda instituted by Freudian psychology. And if you don't believe me, go look at this film. It's a wonderful documentary by Adam Curtis. He's the same one that did The Bower of Nightmares, and it's called The Century of the Self. This hasn't changed one bit for the positive since Murrow thought it was horrible with the fatties. I mean, just think, you know, he called people fat then? Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if he came to this world today? He'd probably think I was a mammoth. Or what do you call those? A behemoth or something, you know? Anyway, I've got some more stuff here to play. I got some audio comments since I'm back here at home, all comfy cozy. Okay. Wear it. Own the thing. Okay. Work it.
Liquor down under.
What the fuck? Liquor down under. What the fuck does that mean? I think that was that Helen. She's fucking nuts. Helenation of Stella DeVille, whatever the fuck her name is. Oy, kafails.
Oh, hello, darling. This is Blay Horowitz.
Blay Horowitz?
My friends told me to call you, but I don't remember why. Please give me a call back and tell me what I'm supposed to call you about. Thank you.
Blay Horowitz, I would like to call you, actually. Let me find my phone. Blay Horowitz. Oh, Christ, on a vagina juice. You can also reach me at 206-888-CUNT. 206-888-CUNT. What am I looking for? Oh, my phone. Where's the phone? Okay. Gotta find the phone. See, when I go out this way, the Bluetooth headphones stop working, but the wireless mic still works, I think. Anyway, hope you can hear me. Right. I want to be your rich son of a prolapse. Maybe that would be a good song for Rilch. The Rilch. She is a songwriter for a new generation. She's this generation's Stephen Sondheim. Of course, she herself doesn't even know who Stephen Sondheim is because she's retarded and a stupid, stupid bitch. But we hate her anyway. Her name is Rilch Chops. You can go visit her at whorehole.org. You can also visit her partner in crime, my friend, and sort of a co-host on a show that hasn't happened in like 6 months, Way Into Wisdom of Lucky Bitch Radio. And her new show, or her cousin's show, I guess you would say, is a daily news program. It's very good. It's called Big Gay News, biggaynews.com with a big gay. All right, let's do self-improvement. Okay. Wait, we're going to call this person here. Well, it's 8:30 in the morning for me, so let's see. Okay. 773. Okay. 773. Oh, I'm not going to read it out loud. Fuck. And then da, 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 da. Okay. May I speak with Blay Horowitz? Hello?
Hi, you've reached 773. I'm not available. Please leave a message.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, listen, this is the Madge Weinstein from Yeast Radio. And I'm recording my program right now. And I want to talk to Blay Horowitz. Blay Horowitz. I prefer... my accent would require I say Horowitz, but because it sounds so good and juicy, I have to say Horowitz. Anyway, please return my call by calling me and leaving me a longer message at 206-888-CANT. That's 206-888-CANT. Or 206-888-CANT. If this is the wrong number, get fucked. Thanks. Okay, that was Blay Horowitz. Can't wait for that.
Hey, Matt. This is Matt Blender. I have a question for you. I just yesterday morning saw that movie with directed by Mike Judge.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called Idiot Nation, about how humankind evolved into
idiocracy,
mass stupidity, and it didn't make it to the theaters because it was making fun of corporations and stuff. And I was wondering, I know you talked about it on the show, and I was wondering if you ever actually saw it and what
yes.
you thought. Because I thought that it was not put out in theaters for really stupid reasons, but I didn't think the movie was very good either. So if I could get your opinion on that, it would be much appreciated. Bye. Thanks.
Well, my first opinion is Matt Blendherd of OKSoRadio.net. He's also my show notes person. He writes those detailed, wonderful show notes that I can't tell you what a tremendous help it is to my life to have that done, really. So, Matt, and by the way, Matt, I wanted to give you a token of appreciation on the wish list, and every few weeks I go back and look, and you still didn't enter your goddamn address on there, you stupid, stupid, stupid bitch. Put your address, your delivery address. Or am I looking at the wrong wish list? Okay, just figure it out, all right? You know? I mean, this is ridiculous. Or, you know, I can... I can get something and just have it shipped to me and then give it to you in person, but that means I have to see your face. But anyway, yeah, I saw Idiocracy. I loved it. I mean, I thought, you know, it's your typical, not typical, but in some ways, in the structure, it's kind of like one of those Saturday Night Live films, you know, where it's, you know, it has funny characters, but then it goes into this sort of boring, you know, part where they have to kind of, it's filler. There's about a half hour of filler there, but it's definitely worth it to see because it's so funny, particularly because, you know, you've had all these movies about the future, but this one is probably the most realistic. And just to give you a hint, in the future, and this is 400 years from now, the most average intelligence person here today is the smartest person in the world and becomes a member of the president's cabinet. And they can't figure out why their crops aren't growing. And it's because they're feeding, pouring water on the plants in all the farms, they're using Mountain Dew because it's the thirst quencher. And every time they ask somebody about it, they're like, why are you using Mountain Dew? Because it's the thirst quencher. You know, so I mean, I think it's good enough to see. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's very good. And I do agree with that assessment about the Fox network, or because Century Fox made it. And I do agree that that's probably why they didn't. I mean, it's definitely good enough for the American public. I mean, they would have loved it because it's like Dumb and Dumber and all those dumb films. It would have done very well at the box. I know it did well at my box. Anyway, let's see here. What is this? Banned Yeast? Oh, I already played that. That didn't make no sense. All right, let's see. Okay, what's this? No, that's My Vagina. What do we have here?
I'll go right to the police station, Miss Taffy, and I'll report it all. And remember my offer. It still stands. If
right.
you get tired of being a Harry Krishner, you come live with me and be a lesbian.
Oh, that'd be fun. By the way, this podcast is sponsored by Podshow, where you can get free podcast hosting. It's really great. Podshow.com. And you can get and you can get you know, your blogs. You can do all kinds of stuff there with video, but it's fantastic because it is the only place where you can really get free podcast hosting. totally free. If you're doing audio, they do stick an ad at the beginning for GoDaddy. My codes, by the way, Madge1, Madge2, Madge3, if you enter them and you check out, you save at least 10% or something on your order. Okay, so, radio. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so the pod show. So your host, your podcaster, you can if you have a feed already, if you're already a podcaster, it'll suck them all in automatically, and then you don't have to pay any more monthly fees. And, yeah, they stick an ad in for audio, but not for video, at least not yet. I imagine they will at some point. But the, an ad at the beginning and the end, big fucking deal. You know, you hear it on mine. You get it for free. And they monitor your statistics, so if you become a superstar or whatever, they'll, you know, give you money, maybe. I don't know. They did it for me. I get paid by Podshow full time, by the way. I quit my day job because of them. Honest to God, despite the fact that my un-boss can frequently be a un-un-douchebag, note the double negative, it's still a very good deal. So anyway, do your podcasting there, and please sign up as a listener. I would really appreciate this. Whatever you think of this Pod Show Plus, just please sign up, because it really matters for me. It matters for me. It affects my livelihood, let's just put it that way. So please, go on the goddamn blog. I'm being so not clear. Go to madgeweinstein.podshow.com. That's my... And just, like, you know, register and add comments or something. Just show that you're active. I need to show that my listeners are doing stuff on that pod show, or they're going to make me switch over to that thing... or something. The word breath. Never mind, that doesn't make no sense. Just go over there, please. You know, it's for my livelihood. That should be enough. I do the show. I've done 520 fucking five shows after this one. Okay, 500, that's 500,000. Okay? How many podcasts have you done? But anyway, my mother says, if all else fails, try guilt. You know what I mean?
She's straight from the gutter.
No, she isn't, bitch. Edie whore. Where was I? So, Okay, lapsitude. Every man has his own special dream, and this dream's just about to come true. Life's not as bad as it may seem if you open your legs and just let it get eaten out. I totally forgot what I was talking about. That's fine. This is an old Mr. Zeechi song. Let's listen.
Tell me when you first met Madge Weinstein. Yeah, I was in a public toilet in Chicago. I was taking a shit. And she knocked on the door and she said, have you got any toilet roll? So I gave her a little bit of toilet roll. And we just started talking. You know, I'm sitting there with my pants down my ankles. And she's like, hey, I'm Madge Weinstein from East Radio. Take a listen sometime, you know. Thanks for the toilet roll. I'm like, hey, no problem, lady. Hope you enjoy your shit. And that's how we met. And the rest is history. I love that girl.
Oh, that sure ended quick. So much for my tight pussy.
Miss Penny Pinchang, I never want us to be apart. Madge might have your bio ducts, but I just want your heart. Miss Penny Pinchang, I love you.
I think I heard a parakeet screaming. You think that's going to bring Penny out your own? Because she's in no mood to come out today. I think she's too busy here fattening somebody's goose liver. Not goose liver. Somebody's liver. I can't talk. What the hell is this? I don't know. I don't understand anything sometimes. All right. So let's see. I'm going to have Barbacia Clemens on next week. A lot of you have been asking for her, except for Bill Street Turd. All right, the prolapse song. I played that already. I haven't played a lot of Cheryl lately. We all love to hear Cheryl. This is a very, very, sort of a melancholy and Shelley Rilch.
Here. Why does my thing keep falling out every time I bear down?
Uh-huh.
Just like you, it longs to be inside me.
Uh-huh.
Why do my lips burn and bleed?
'Cause you're
every
ugly.
Time I pick them, just like you, a lamp wants to be inside of me, honey.
That's great.
On the day that I lapsed, the doctor was out of town and decided I would stay lapsed for a while. So I pushed it further out of me and made sure you could see it all, honey. Come on.
I thought it was Camille.
This is why my lapse is behind me.
Okay.
Follow me.
I totally get that.
All around. Mm-hmm. Just mostly. Like you. Lamps wants to be inside of me, honey.
So beautiful, mm-hmm. And it makes such sense.
Just like you. Lamps wants to be inside
ugly.
Of me, honey.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
On the day that I lapsed, the doctor was out of town, decided I would stay lapsed for a while.
And ugly.
So I pushed it further out of me and made sure you could see it all. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is why lapse is behind me. Mm-hmm. Follow me all around, yes it do. Just like you, lapse wants to be inside me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Just like you. Lips wants to be inside me, honey. Mm-hmm. Come on, inside me. That's right. This lips wants to be back inside. Just like you. Lips wants to goddamn be back inside me, you motherfucker. Push it back in. Come on. Okay, are we done? Are we done? Can you cut it? Come on, cut the music.
Opposition is true friendship. Opposition is true friendship. Opposition is true friendship.
opposition is true friendship.
Thank you.
cussing your whore. Not being a whore is bad. We're all whores. Americans.
Liquor down under.
Song that I played in that mashup that was like 15 minutes long was Eve Deligarian. It's from Mikey Pod's show number. He's somebody, a wonderful composer that Mikey Pod interviewed on his show number something. Just fucking look it up.
If we're given the proper knowledge and the proper understanding and given the proper instruction, we should begin to see measurable feedback in our life. If you make the effort to sit down and design a new life, and you make it the most important thing, and you spend time every day feeding it like a gardener feeds a seed, you will produce fruit.
We are running the holodeck. We are collectively, it's there, it has such flexibility that anything you can imagine, it will create. And you learn, I mean, your intention causes this thing to materialize once you're conscious enough.
Yes, so what is consciousness?
What is consciousness?
Well, consciousness is a very difficult thing to define.
The consciousness is the ground of being, therefore it is the one and the original. The chicken and the egg question, however, is very important. For example, how does this one consciousness become a subject-object split experience?
What is consciousness? Where does it come from?
What is consciousness?
People have been trying to explain consciousness and try to figure out what exactly it is, what it means for us as human beings, why we even have it. On a simple way of defining it, it has to do with awareness, and in particular, it has to do with awareness of the self. That's at least how we as human beings have self-consciousness, so that when we look in a mirror, we recognize that it's ourselves that we're looking at and not some other person or some other animal.
There's quantum coherence among proteins in the brain to give us the unitary nature of self, how we have only one sense of self in our brains, despite the fact that there are processes going on all over the place within the brain.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give you an answer that you're not going to be happy with. And I'm not happy with it either. I just don't know what more to say about it at the moment. There is some, one can use all kinds of other words, awareness, self-awareness, sentience, feelings, what people call qualia in philosophy. These just seem to me synonyms for it. They're not elucidating what's going on at the bottom of it. Let it suffice to say this. I'm putting myself back on the border again. The phenomenon of consciousness seems to me one of the points at which the collision between the scientistic worldview and various anti-scientistic worldviews are going to be the most acute. And it's exactly for this reason that I think it's an enormously important phenomenon to think about.
What is consciousness?
Well, I define consciousness according to Penrose's view. It's a particular type of self-collapse into the way of motion. Now, as you know, things can be in superposition in multiple possible states or locations. That's quantum superposition. And that's the natural state in the quantum world. Now, we don't see that in our classical world. Why not? Well, one explanation is that conscious observation causes collapse. That's the Copenhagen interpretation. Another is that every superposition branches off and forms a new universe, the multiple worlds hypothesis. Another is that interaction of superposition with the environment causes decoherence. And the fourth possibility is that superpositions grow until they meet some kind of natural threshold inherent in nature, which causes them to convert from a quantum superposition state to the classical state. There are several types of these theories which are called objective reduction, an objective threshold for quantum state reduction. One is if the system grows too large, that's the Girardi-Lumini-Weber GRW theory. Another is Roger Penrose's idea that, well, first he starts with a question, what is superposition? And he says it's a separation from fundamental reality at the most basic level. So much like the multiple worlds view, the universe separates and begins to separate, but that these separations or bubbles, if you will, in reality at the most basic level, are unstable, and after a while will collapse to one or the other. And that this type of collapse, this type of objective reduction that occurs due to this instability and separation of the universe, is consciousness. And it can only happen in very special circumstances because you need a system that's isolated from the environment, so it has to be protected, so it doesn't decohere, and it has to be large enough to reach this threshold. The threshold is given by, it's inversely related to the size of the superposition. So something very small, like an electron superposition, if protected from decoherence, would take 10 million years to reach threshold, and then it would have a very dull, tiny moment of consciousness. Something very large will reach threshold quickly, And in the brain, we think that quantum computations occur which reach threshold roughly at 25 milliseconds. So 40 times a second, we have conscious moments, collapses, these sub-collapses in which the superpositions collapse to the classical world. And it's a process occurring at the most basic fundamental level of the universe, the Planck scale, basically, and connected to the brain by quantum computations occurring in our brains.
What is your simple definition of consciousness?
What is a simple definition of consciousness?
Transcend space and time. No, we're too busy keeping our emotions in check to ever dream of infinite possibilities. And maybe that is the ultimate conspiracy.
Even though a given person may have long ago thrown off the trappings of religion, they still live in the religious mode and they don't even know it.
example, religion does not have eminent domain over God. Religion is simply the study of God, the mystery of God, and then endeavoring to take from scraps of people all of that interpretation and put it in, well, it must mean this, and so we're going to fast today, and we're going to wear, we're going to cover ourselves up, we're going to uncover ourselves up, and if we do this, this is what God is pleased about. But, you know, that's just hogwash. And so pleasing God gets us off of the hook of living. I mean, the very fact that we had to have somebody die for our sins is sort of a ripoff, don't you think? I mean, I think we already really should have had the privilege of living out our own sins and by virtue of experience, be enriched with wisdom because of them. Achieve the wisdom that allows us to understand everybody.
One of the problems with organized religions is that there is this sense of separateness, that it's only good to be a Protestant, or that people who are Catholics are the only people who know the way. And I think now our current understanding of quantum physics is this understanding of complete unity, and so that we have to derive our spirituality from a sense of unity.
I use the pun fundamental with a hyphen to mean the fundamental level of the universe, because at the most basic level, there's a mentality at this most basic level. So, you know, fundamental religions that focus on only their approach to the exclusion of others and are self-righteous and dogmatic, I think is a very bad thing.
The method in science is to produce a conjecture about reality, and then you set out hammer and tongs to disprove it. In that process, you will be able to strip away the accretions and the peripherals and hopefully get at a core that's hard and fast. And as somebody said yesterday here at the conference, you know, 90% of new knowledge is going to the garbage bin in a few years anyway, and that's the way it ought to be. Now, the single exception to that in the field of human endeavor has been religion. Because religion says, oh, we have all the truth already, right from day one, and therefore it can't ever change. Therefore, we can set out to refute it. And because it has never set out to refute the peripheral aspects of spiritual existence, religion has become more and more irrelevant to the evolution of human thought.
Must it say, this parable is a brilliant parable to an age in which there was no science. So he says to his disciples that the kingdom of heaven is not in the sky. And look, many will say that it is here, it is there. But in reality, he said, all right, a mustard seed is the tiniest of seeds. The kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? It means who we really are and where we have our eternalness, where we have our alwaysness, where we have always been and always will be. That self is smaller than a mustard seed. And that the kingdom to which God lives is a small. Jesus knew this 2,000 years ago. How is he going to teach a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, and riders on asses about quantum physics? And the key ingredient, the key to the kingdom of heaven, is self. And where do we find self? In this morass of tiny, the observer. So, what did he know that you do not know? And he knew it 2,000 years ago. And so did the mystery schools 2,000 years ago know this. What are we really? We have determined it. What are we ultimately? We have determined it. That we are even smaller than the smallest phase of time from zero point energy to its recognition. So how small are we? We are point zero, and we fluctuate off of that zero. A relishing experience emotionally, but we would have no conquest. Indeed, we would have no relishment if we had not first had that hologram and those chemicals that made us, or rather changed us, from being fearful entities into fearless entities after a dream. The frontal lobe of crowning the cheek is in the brain. Frontal lobe. This frontal lobe allows us a distinguishedness to change our minds.
So it begs the question, what is free will? We really think that we have free will when we make choices. But there was an experiment done with people who had damage to the frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is the area of the brain that we use to really make free will choices. And these people all had damage or strokes to their frontal lobe, and they put them in a situation where they said, this is a test, and there's no right or wrong answer, but you can choose whatever you want. Now, all the people who had damage to the frontal lobe could not choose. They could not choose one answer or the other. They could not make a choice. When they repeated the experiment and they said, now there's a right or wrong answer, the moment they said there's a right or wrong answer, these people were able to choose. So it has to cause us to begin to question if we ever really choose based on free will, or are we just choosing what we already know? And that free will means that we stop enough to be able to separate all the knowns and speculate possibilities and potentials that exist in the unknown. When we live by those automatic circuits, that already wired known patterns of association, we're really not making any free will choices. We're choosing based on what we know. And as long as we choose based on what we know, we'll always get what we know.
You don't need to fuck around.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.